Good morning. Settle back. Take a deep breath and prepare to hear something from me that you hardly ever hear from Reverend Karen. Prepare to hear from this pulpit about hellfire and brimstone. Okay, at least a little about it. Everyone, welcome to Hadestown. Welcome to hell reimagined as a factory floor. Hadestown is a dark and moody musical based on a couple of well-known Greek myths. The story of Hades and Persephone and Orpheus and Eurydice. Let me start with Hades and Persephone. In Greek mythology, Hades is the king of the underworld. He was on a trip above ground when he saw and fell in love with Persephone. He carried her against her will back to his underground kingdom. Persephone is eventually allowed to spend half the year on Earth and the other half below in Hades. Her return to Earth each year brings spring and new life, and her return to the underworld leaves the Earth above, cold and dead. Hadestown combines that story with the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. Shortly after Orpheus, a brilliant musician, and Eurydice are married, Eurydice dies and descends into the underworld. Orpheus follows her there and asks Hades to allow her to return. Hades allows it out of one condition. That condition being that Eurydice follow Orpheus out of the underworld. If Orpheus so much as glances back to see if she's still there before they both arrive back on Earth, Eurydice will be snatched back and immediately. He does. And she is. You know, maybe I should have said spoiler alert. And I am sorry about the spoilers, but I can't be responsible if you don't already know the story, ending of a 4,000-year-old story. In Hadestown version of the events, Orpheus meets Eurydice, and almost immediately he proposes to her. I'm telling you, there is no, hey, do you want to go for coffee? No, how about us going to lunch sometime? Nope, it's marry me. And Eurydice is taken aback by this. These are two poor, struggling people. How could this wedding ever happen, Eurydice demands. With times being what they are, dark and getting darker all the time, and Orpheus provides her answer after answer. The rivers and the trees and the birds will provide the gifts.
Lover, tell me if you can, who's gonna buy the wedding bands? Times being what they are, hard and getting harder all the time.
Lover, when I sing my song, all the rivers will sing along, and they're gonna break their banks for us, and with their gold be generous. All the flashing in the pan, all the fashion for your hand, the river's gonna make the wedding bands.
Lover, tell me if you're able, who's gonna lay the wedding table? Times being what they are, hard and getting harder all the time.
Lover, when I sing my song, all the trees gonna sing along, and they're gonna bend their branches down to lay their fruit upon the ground. The almond in the apple and the sugar from the maple, the tree's gonna lay the wedding table. Yes.
Why don't you sing it then?
It isn't finished.
Sing it. You want to take me home?
Yes.
Sing the song.
La 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 la. I don't know. The song's not finished, though.
You have to finish it.
I know.
Lover, tell me when we're wed. Who's gonna make the wedding bed? Times being what they are, hard and getting harder all the time.
Lover, when I sing my song, all the birds gonna come along. They'll come flying from all around to lay their feathers on the ground. We'll lay down in the eiderdown, a pillow neath our heads. The birds gonna make the wedding bed.
And the trees gonna lay the wedding table.
And the river's gonna make the wedding beds.
We could dismiss Orpheus as young and naive and in love, but the musical shows us that he is a powerful foe to the corrupt, oppressive, money-hungry Hades. Orpheus, through his music, brings beauty, gratefulness, and hope to a world that badly needs it. You would think that Hades, with all his wealth and power, could crush Orpheus, but he can't. Creativity, joy, love, gratefulness, and hope are all strong antidotes to greed and hate. It would be nice if we could end it right here, but Hadestown won't let us get off that easy. The sad truth is, for all the strength of faith, hope, and love, wealth and power it buys, wealth and the power it buys has many, many soldiers in their army. Listen carefully as Hermes, the narrator of the musical, describes Hadestown. He pulls no punches when saying, "Give me morphine in a tin. Give me a crate of the fruit of the vine. Takes a lot of medicine to make it through wintertime. It's a graveyard in Hadestown."
On the road to hell, there was a railroad track.
Oh, come on.
There was a train coming up from way down below.
That was nothing fun.
Better go grab your suitcase back. Yes, it's time to go.
She's gonna ride that train.
Ride that train.
She's gonna ride that train.
Ride that train.
She's gonna ride that train to the end of the line. Cause the king of the mine is coming to call. Did you ever wonder what it's like on the yonder side?
Way down under.
On the yonder side.
Way down yonder.
On the other side of his wall. Follow that dollar for a long way down. Far away on the poorhouse door. You either get to hell or to Hadestown. Ain't no difference anymore. Way down Hadestown. Way down. Hound dog howling, the whistle blow. The train come rolling, a trickety-tack. Everybody trying to get a ticket to go. But those who go, well, they don't come back. They're going
way down Hadestown, way down under the ground.
From way down Hadestown, way down under the ground.
Everybody hungry, everybody tired, everybody slaves by the sweat of his brow. The wage is nothing. and the work is hard. It's a graveyard in Hades Town.
Way down, Hades Town, way down under the ground. Way down under the ground.
Those of us who want to make a difference in the world, who want to carry out the work of Jesus and feed the hungry, clothe the poor, welcome the stranger, and visit the sick, often find ourselves overwhelmed as we try to address the issues that people deal with. What is the most important? Is it food, shelter, health care and medication, sobriety? For many of us, life is a living hell, and it's easy to feel powerless to help. And for those sick and those stuck in poverty and addiction, the situation is far worse. In the musical version of the story, Eurydice is falling into despair, and she endures the cold and the hunger that is a constant in her poverty. As she struggles, she runs into Hades. Hades tries to woo Eurydice back to Hades Town, and even the Fates step in to entice her. They play on her loneliness and her insecurity. They even play on her doubts about Orpheus and whether he truly loves her.
Songbird versus Rattlesnake. Eurydice was a hungry young girl. Hades gave her a choice to make, a ticket to the underworld.
Life ain't easy.
Life ain't fair.
Girl, gotta fight for a rightful share. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down.
Help yourself.
To hell with the rest. Even the one who what you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down.
Oh, my aching heart.
What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down.
Take if you can,
give if you must. Ain't nobody but yourself to trust. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now chips are down. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down.
Aim for the heart.
Shoot to kill.
If you don't do it, then the other one will.
What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. And the first shall be first, and the last shall be last. Cast your eyes to heaven. You got a knife in the back. Nobody's righteous. Nobody's proud. Nobody's innocent. Now that the chips are down. Now that the chips are down.
Eurydice makes the choice to go down to Hades. Things are awful down there, it seems, but sometimes we'll chase after anything that can ease the pain of what we're feeling right now. I lived through an experience like that, but just barely. I met a smooth-talking charmer like Hades. His name was Donnie. I had just gone through a hard breakup, and the failure of my relationship had left me plagued with low self-esteem and nagging doubt. Donnie fed on those doubts. He would build me up, but not too much. He introduced me to his friends and his party lifestyle. Before I started hanging out with him, I had this small but wonderful circle of friends, a good job, and this church, my church. Eventually, Donnie convinced me to abandon my life here in Austin. I left my job, this faith community, and my friends to move to what Donnie promised would be a better place. It wasn't. It wasn't hell, though. It was just Oklahoma City. My family was miles away. I had no friends of my own. I was working a job I hated. And there wasn't that faith community that I felt that I could fall back on. After being hit by one final betrayal by Donnie, I had had enough. And I packed my bags and I headed home to Austin. Slowly, I rebuilt my life, starting by getting my old job back and reconnecting with my old friends in this church. It's not that I never made any more bad life choices after that. I did. We all do. But I was much safer, healthier, and happier when I was surrounded by my circle of friends and my church family. And I could end my sermon here. But alas, it's not all about me. Reverend Karen expects me to say something about our theme for this year's Bible on Broadway series, which is Amplify. Within our services, we are trying to amplify voices that are often ignored or silenced. To do that this morning, I want to first direct your attention back to this morning's scripture. Angels urged Lot to take his wife and all his family and flee Sodom because the city was about to be destroyed. They told him not to look back upon the destruction. As they neared safety, however, Lot's wife looked back and was turned immediately into a pillar of salt. Lot's wife. I've heard this story many times, beginning from when I was a child in Sunday school. Back then, I had my doubts about the story. I found it hard to believe that this woman actually turned into a table condiment. But I had this one childhood friend. He was a preacher's kid, of course. And he had me convinced that the picture of the girl on the Morton salt carton was indeed Lot's wife. Now, you folks know how I love to joke, but now I'm being dead serious. We joke about Lot's wife without ever thinking about her role in our faith history. Lot's wife. Lot's wife. Lot's wife. Did you ever notice that she doesn't even get a name in Scripture? In that way, she's a lot like the woman at the well, or the Canaanite woman. Today, I want to amplify these women for you. It's not that just many of them don't have names. It's also the way we often mindlessly take these women and what is written about them by men and don't dig any deeper and don't demand any more. We may have done our homework and know that women were definitely preachers and teachers and disciples of Jesus. But a large portion of the Christian world doesn't accept these women in these roles because they shut down scholarship by women and enlightened men. You might think that this has no impact beyond the church or other religious organizations. But it does. If people can declare that their God intends for women to be less than men, they can claim they're doing so and they're doing God's will. When they take control of women's bodies, pay them less for equal work, and organize to keep them out of positions of power. That's the one thing I really love about Broadway. Broadway knows how to amplify voices. Think about Hadestown. Both Persephone and Eurydice are hollow characters in the original stories. Persephone is a pawn who is taken to Hades against her will, and Eurydice, her return to Earth, to life, depends on Orpheus. Anais Mitchell, a woman, wrote the music, lyrics, and book for Hadestown. She imagined a new story for Persephone and Eurydice. They do not take over the story, and the story's endings aren't changed. But we in the audience are forced to encounter them as three-dimensional characters, to hear their voices. Listen as Eurydice sings Flowers, a song of regret that includes these lines. Dreams are sweet until they're not. Men are kind until they aren't. Is anyone listening? I open my mouth, but nothing comes out.
What I wanted was to fall asleep weather on the
The trend of amplifying women's voices in Broadway is bringing a long overdue spotlight to women's stories. The musical Anne Juliet dreams of a new ending for Shakespeare's classic. And Six shines a new light on the six wives of Henry VIII. Our Broadway theme Amplify was inspired by a story told by singer Brandi Carlile. She told of a time that she and her band, an all-white band, were invited on stage to sing in front of a group of mostly Muslim protesters who are rallying against Trump's 2016 ban on immigration from Muslim countries. Because the PA system was not working well, Carlisle and her band and sound crew ended up repairing the broken system. The band did not sing. Instead, they stepped aside and let the targeted people's voices be heard. Many of us here today are targeted because of our sexuality or our gender identity. We need to raise our voices and speak the truth. But we also need to figure out when we have privilege and where we should hand over the microphone and the stage to others. We need to keep our hearts and minds open to all the Lot's wives, the Persephones, and the Eurydices in the world and look for opportunities to welcome them to the stage, both on and off Broadway. Amen.